This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as always, we start with the dua, taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. Another night from the special nights, the last 10 nights, has begun. And another moment from the special moments of Ramadan has, subhanallah, begun. And subhanallah, it came to us after we completed a special moment. So merciful this month is. And subhanallah, when we think of how amazing these moments are and how quickly they come and how quickly they leave, you can't help but feel, subhanallah, this emotion that you can't explain. It's just something there, subhanallah, that you can't explain. It's a niggling feeling that accompanies everything else that you're doing, subhanallah. But when you pause for a moment, you recognize, subhanallah, it has to be because the month of Ramadan is leaving us, subhanallah. These bittersweet moments, we're going through it once again. And we can actually remember, I can remember the bittersweet moments from last Ramadan, which tells us how quickly this Ramadan came. And again, how quickly this month has passed, subhanallah. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. Allah yubqina fi ta'ati. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our month. And may He bring to us many, many more Ramadans whilst we are upon Iman and whilst we are upon good health and experiencing the pleasantries of life, living within the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Today's episode, no doubt, is the finale, the final one. It has to be because I'm not here tomorrow. Illa ayyasha Allah. As per our plans, I am due to depart tomorrow. And thus after the Taraweeh, I said to you words that I had to get out of me. Subhanallah, because as I was completing the Salah, I was thinking to myself, this is my last Raka'ah leading the Muslims in Melbourne, here at this particular venue. It's the last unit that I will lead them in. But I ask Allah, we asked and we ask Allah again, that Allah doesn't make it the last. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. The finale really is about a great journey from Palestine to Egypt. Has to be about this great epic journey from Palestine to Egypt. Why does it have to be about this great journey from Palestine to Egypt? Because as we discussed yesterday, at the end of the interactions between Yusuf and his brothers, he told them to go back with his shirt to his father, and the shirt would then be a means of his eyesight being returned. And also then Yusuf told his brothers to ask his family to come all together back to Egypt. The brothers, his parents, the whole family should come to Egypt. So if we are to title this episode, it has to be from Palestine to Egypt. And I would add to it an epic journey. Subhanallah. From Palestine to Egypt. An epic journey. And this was the first name I gave my Al-Kawthar course when I wrote it in 2010 for Al-Kawthar, a two-day intensive on Surah Yusuf. Subhanallah. I actually named it From Palestine to Egypt, an epic journey. It is an epic journey. Don't think about the actual travel from Palestine to Egypt. Think about where this journey started. It started with a young boy speaking to his father decades ago, telling his father of this dream. Be careful here, there's some water or tea or something has spilt over here, so it may be hot. Okay, alhamdulillah. So this journey started, subhanallah, with that moment. And we've been going through the journey since that moment up till today, throughout the month of Ramadan. And this journey took me to Brisbane, then to Sydney, and between Sydney and Brisbane I was back in Melbourne, and after Sydney I came back to Melbourne. So it's been an epic journey for me as well. Subhanallah. So yes, the journey from Palestine to Egypt, an epic journey, subhanallah. And these are all happy moments. The finale is everything happy. There's no sadness in it. There's no stress in it. There's no difficulty in it. It's all those happy moments you find at the end of a really, really good story. You know, those ones that make you tear, right? But tears of joy, tears of relief, tears of happiness. We've seen Yusuf united with Binyamin. We've seen Yusuf now united with his brothers. The acquaintance has been fully established. He told them who he was, well, in a very prolific way. And they questioned and asked, "Innaka la anta Yusuf? Are you indeed Yusuf?" And, you know, their introductions took place. And now, subhanallah, the father, who's been patiently suffering peacefully, subhanallah, he's going to be united with his son. Not with his son, with all his sons. With Yusuf, with Binyamin, and with the older brother who also stayed behind. And I want you to, something I should have said yesterday, and I didn't, or even the day before, and if I did, please forgive me, I don't recall saying it. We have to learn from Ya'qub, subhanallah, that it's human nature to feel sad. It's human nature to feel stress. The Sharia does not hold you accountable for being sad. It doesn't hold you for feeling accountable for being stressed. It's a natural human response to events. The scholars, they have this discussion in the books of Maqasid and the books of Usul al-Fiqh. The discussion about al-awsaf al-jibiliyah, human nature. Does Allah hold us accountable based on human nature? And the answer is no. The scholars agree that He doesn't, right? Because sometimes you can have, for example, a Muslim neighbor who harms you, and a non-Muslim neighbor who always helps you. And human nature is to feel some love for, some care, some positive feelings towards this non-Muslim neighbor who's always good to you, looks after the secret matters of your home, looks after your home when you're away, when your family needs help, they're there for you. But then you might have a Muslim neighbor, subhanallah, may Allah guide them. Anything happens in your home, they spread it in the city. Anyone visit you, they spy on you, and they spread that news to other people. And everybody knows everything that happens at your home, for example. You need help, they're never available. And so on and so forth. What are you naturally going to feel towards your Muslim neighbor who does that to you? You're going to feel sadness about them, hatred towards them. This is human nature. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable for your behavior, your manifestations, as a result of the feelings of your human nature. You understand? So for example, you might feel love towards your non-Muslim neighbor, but if that causes you to cross the boundaries and accept their religious beliefs, associate partners with Allah, what will happen? You will be held accountable. Your Muslim neighbor who harms you, if they make the salam and you don't respond to the salam, when Allah has made that a right of believers upon one another, now you will be held accountable. We are held accountable for our manifestations. And throughout we said that the story of Yusuf, Surah Yusuf, it teaches us time and time again that a believer is someone who happens to events. Events don't happen to him. A believer strikes an event, strikes a circumstance, strikes a situation, and that situation becomes better because of that meeting. Not the other way around. You see? Because the Muslim, a believer, is defined by what Allah wants, not the human nature. In terms of their manifestations, in terms of how I'm going to act with people, how am I going to behave, we run ourselves based on what Allah wants us to do in that moment, not how we feel. And that's why you are not abd al-hawa, you're not a slave of your desires, you're not a slave of al-awsaf al-jibiliyah, you're not a slave of your human nature, you're a slave of who? Abd Allah. The slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see? So Ya'qub, He cried, Ya'qub, he was sad, Ya'qub, but he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُ بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He didn't complain about Allah, he complained to Allah. Did he ever question Allah? Did he ever deny Allah? Never. Even in his old age, يَا بَنِيَ ذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفُ وَأَخِي. Oh my sons, go and search for Yusuf and his brother. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. This is a man in his old age, 40 to 50 decades later, suffering for 40 to 50 decades after losing the apple to his eye. Hold it up. طيب, I'll hold it inshallah. After losing the apple of his eye, subhanallah, he's still telling his children, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So this shows you that he defined his moments. Not so? He didn't let the stress, everything he felt, define how he will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Define the advice he will give to other people. Define how he would behave with his children, with other people. There's so many lessons. This, you know, Ya'qub and how he dealt with what he dealt with is a school in and of itself. And like I said, there's postgraduate research on psychology, psychotherapy from Surah Yusuf. And understanding this whole Iman aspect, obviously in Muslim countries. If you're studying psychology upon curriculums that have no religion connected to it, in terms of the worldview of the science, you're not going to get all of this. But in Muslim countries that don't exclude religion in terms of governance and how we manage ourselves and how we interpret events and how we deal with events and it's a different topic. There's postgraduate research about this. Tapping into the psychology of Ya'qub alayhi salam. Subhanallah. Like I told you, I mentioned this at the beginning. We have postgraduate research on how to build a strong GDP from Surah Yusuf. Strong economy from Surah Yusuf. HR, human resource techniques, human resource criterion. Management, leadership. They tap into Surah Yusuf for this. Subhanallah. As Ibn al-Qayyim said, there's over 1,000 lessons. So this is an important point that I missed sharing. I don't know if I shared it. You are allowed to. And remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he buried his son Ibrahim, did he not tear? And the Sahaba said to him, they asked him about these tears. And what did he say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That indeed the eyes tear, and indeed the heart is saddened, but we never say anything except that which is pleasing to Allah. And this is sabr. In as-sabr inda sadmati al-ula, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us. That patience is when you hold yourself together when the calamity strikes you. When the calamity strikes you and wants to break you apart. When a person loses their mind, they're broken, right? The calamity wants to break you apart, so you lose your mind and you'll say anything and everything. Sabr is keeping yourself together and maintaining decor with your Lord. That is sabr. So this is an important lesson that we can't miss at this juncture. Alhamdulillah. Also, we can't miss this whole idea of after every difficulty, there's two eases. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah teaches us this in the 30th juz. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Allah says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah says, for every difficulty, there's an ease. And Allah repeats it, for every difficulty, there's an ease. The scholars of tafsir, they pondered over these two verses and they said that you can extract from it, for every one difficulty, there's two eases. Why? Because inna ma'al usr, al usr bi al, it's in the definite form. Bi al ta'rif. It's in the definite form. You see, what's the definite form? This is, subhanallah, I'm not wearing this, ya akhi. Alhamdulillah, it was in front of us. Alhamdulillah. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Alhamdulillah. I'm making this dua because the people are, brothers looking at me like, Shaykh, la hawla wa la quwwata. How did you forget to wear that mic, ya akhi? Allah Kareem. We're still working, Allahu Akbar. Basharakallah, ya Mustafa. Mustafa always brings the glad tidings, mashallah, tabarakallah. Allah bless you, Habibi. I'm going to miss you, Allah. Akramakallah. Allah honor you. I'm going to miss everybody, just in case. I don't want to upset anybody. But this is khas. This is a specific message for Mustafa. What was I saying before the mic? I was explaining to you the definite article. If I have... Can I have this bottle? Jazakallah khair. This is a bottle, right? If I introduce this bottle to you, does it become any bottle or a specific bottle? Becomes specific, isn't it? Right? So I show you this bottle. I say, give me a bottle. He gave me a bottle. Okay? Then I give him back. Then after a few moments, I say, give me the bottle. When I say, give me the bottle, can she give me her bottle? Can anyone else give me a bottle? Which bottle am I referring to? Because I said the bottle. The bottle means I'm asking for the bottle in the definite sense. It's become definite now. It's not just any bottle. It was introduced to us. We know there's a specific bottle. It's definite. In Arabic language, to make something definite, there's a tool known as alif and lam. Alif and lam, if you attach it to a noun, it becomes definite. If I say qalam, which means pen, it means any pen. If I say al-qalam, the pen, I'm referring to a specific pen. Okay? Are you with me? Allah says, inna ma'al usr. Usr means difficulty. Allah has used the definite article, al-usr. Al-usr. Allah has made it definite. But then when Allah talks about ease, He leaves it in the indefinite sense. Yusra. He doesn't say al-yusr. Inna ma'al usr, yusra. Inna ma'al usr, yusra. In the next verse as well. So the scholars say, the usr in the second verse is the same usr in the first verse. The difficulty that Allah mentions in the second verse is the same difficulty in the first verse because of the definite article on it. But yusr is in the indefinite sense. And it exists in two verses. Which means Allah is saying, for every difficulty there's an ease. For that difficulty, there's an ease. So we have two eases and we have one difficulty. Connect with the Quran. It's ajeeb.
So how do you know that it's two eases and not emphasizing that it's one ease? Like just a repetitive... You know how you repeat something twice?
I explained it to you.
I get that.
We mentioned the definite article.
But it's even if you're talking about the same thing, it can still be...
Those who are scholars of the Arabic language will know. So then how should you know definitely if you don't know the Arabic language? Ask a scholar. You were told, but you don't sound convinced.
No, I just wanted to know how you separate the two.
No. So this is the discussion. The scholars of Tafsir, they mentioned this. This is the Sunnah of Allah. That Allah, for every difficulty, gives you two eases. But we don't know. And that's why I was emphasizing the points of ease when we were going through the story of Yusuf. Remember when the brothers gathered and said, let's kill him. قال قائل منهم لا تقتلوا يوسف. Somebody said, don't kill him, but throw him into the bottom of a well. That was an ease. That was an ease. What was harder? Being killed. And what an ease it was. If he wasn't thrown in the well, how many millions would have died 40 to 50 years later? Because there would be no Yusuf to manage the storage houses when the drought and famine came. He was the best man available for it. And he couldn't have been there if he wasn't in the well. Do you see that ease? What an ease that was. What an ease that was. Nah. And there's other parts in the story where we highlighted this point. Now, I want to use this as a segue into another point. That my dear brother and sister in Islam, our belief, the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the belief of the righteous, followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rightly guided followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our belief is that there's nothing like complete evil. There's nothing like complete evil. There's nothing like complete evil. Are you with me? Yes, we say, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Good and bad fate is from Allah. But good and bad here is relative. Is relative. Good and bad is relative. This is a very important point. I need you to focus. Don't focus on the children running around, guys. I don't need Instagram minds with me. I need focus. I need students of knowledge. I can see the Instagram dopamine age has afflicted the older generations as well. Subhanallah. Hmm? Kids will be kids. We want them here. Why are you taking them away, Habibi? Abadan. Okay, right. You see now, because the adults can't concentrate, they have to take the kids away. Allah yahdikum, akhi. Allahul musta'an. We love the kids with us, but the adults must focus. We say the younger generation can't focus. But I see this in 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. Nobody can focus. Because everyone's on TikTok and Instagram. I don't know who I was telling this to. When I was catching one of the flights, either to Brisbane or Sydney, I was at the airport waiting to board, and I just started observing people. Observing people. People of all ages. And yahi. Allahul musta'an. And the young take leadership from where? They take the guidance from the top as well. We're discussing a very important point. Are you with me? We say good and bad fate is from Allah. Good and bad fate is from Allah. We believe that. But good and bad, this bad that we mention here is relative. It's bad from a perspective, from an angle. I'll give you an example. I'm not sure if I said this to you before. Let's say, mashallah, this community, mashallah, is very rich. Everyone has Ferraris and Lamborghinis. Mashallah, tabarakallah. Everyone has Ferraris and Lamborghinis.
Inshallah, why not?
Inshallah. Everyone can dream. You're free to dream, brothers. You're free to imagine. Alhamdulillah, Allah has put no limitation on your ability to dream and imagine. You can imagine your car outside is a Lamborghini. Halal. It's halal for you. There's no riba in it. No interest. Now, imagine, subhanallah, Allah protect us all. That community was in the lecture and hailstones fell from the sky. Huge hailstones. And smashed the windscreens of all these Lamborghinis and Ferraris. And the people came out after the procession ended and they saw the state of their vehicles. Now, honestly, what would they do, the people walking out? Would they say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen? Or would they say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allahul musta'an, inna la musibah. Huh? Well, what would they say?
They'll say insurance.
Would people be happy or would people be really upset? Would they say this is a good thing or this is a bad thing? Okay. They say it's a bad thing. Bad thing, right? But what about the guy who sells windscreens?
He'll say this is good. Business as can.
The guy who sells the windscreens, what's he going to say? Alhamdulillah. Yani, you saying subhanallah, la hawla wa la quwwata, he's saying alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Do you see this? It's bad from an angle. It's relative. Every day, Allah allowed you to worship Him through being thankful. And the windscreen seller had to be patient. And then one day Allah gave him a circumstance where he could worship Allah being thankful and you have to be patient. It's all Allah's plan. You see? So remember this. Because I want you to think about it in light of Yusuf in the well decades before. Remember I spoke to you about this pixel. Now you guys using it against, using it in conversations against me. Yeah, mashallah. This whole pixel. Remember I said we only have a pixel. Everyday life gives us a pixel. But we cannot understand the picture from a pixel. A pixel is a millionth of a picture, for example. You cannot tell the picture from a pixel. When something happens to you in life, it's a pixel. The whole picture is with Allah. You don't have the whole picture. But you have to be patient and gather more pixels. You have to be patient and gather more pixels. That's what being patient means. You just got to go on, be good, do the right thing, live the next day, get through the next night, Every moment will give you more pixels. You will gather, 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 and suddenly the picture will start giving you options. You start thinking, okay, maybe this is the picture of this. Maybe. Did Yusuf in the prison think that he would end up being the minister via the person who he interpreted his dream for? When he told him to go to the king and mention him to the king, and he forgot to do it. Years passed, nothing's happening. Yusuf was looking to get out. You know, they call it the get out of jail card. Mention me to the king so my case can be looked into and I can get out of here. Did Yusuf think I'd end up being the minister? Now, Yusuf managed the storage house so well. Egypt had food, Palestine had food, so countless people had food, right? I'm asking you a question. When Yusuf was thrown into the well 50 years ago, let's just use 50 as a round figure. When you were at that point in the story at the beginning of Ramadan, and we said, Yusuf's been thrown into the well. By Allah, I ask you, did you feel happy or sad at that moment? Sad. Now that you know that if Yusuf wasn't in the well, he couldn't have been found by the caravan. If he wasn't found by the caravan, he wouldn't be in the slave market on the day that the minister was looking for a slave boy. And then he couldn't have ended up in the minister's home where he learned the craft and the trade of finance and so on and so forth, as some of the scholars of tafsir say. And then he went through that test which got him into prison. If he wasn't in the prison, he wouldn't have met the inmates. If he didn't meet the inmates, he wouldn't have interpreted the dream. If he didn't interpret the dream, that person who worked for the king wouldn't know that there's someone in the prison who can interpret the dream's king, the king's dream. And if that didn't happen, then Yusuf would not have had that audience with the king. And when he had the audience with the king, he had the opportunity to take over the storage houses. Because of that, millions of people's lives were saved. People who were probably not even born when Yusuf was in the well. Now I'm asking you at this point in the story, Yusuf in the well, was that a? Do you feel happy or do you feel sad? We're not suggesting we start throwing people down wells, guys. Wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. But Allah's plan will always succeed. Allah's plan will always come to be. Life is a test. Life is a test, as we said, Allah will make manifest which one of, you know, who from amongst us is best in deeds through the test. But you got to just keep doing the right thing, trusting Allah's plan. That Allah has a plan. Everything is happening because of a bigger plan that Allah has. I don't know the plan. So I'm not going to stress and cause myself to break and cause myself to be decapacitated for something that's beyond my control. This is Allah's plan. I just need to do what Allah told me to do and fasten my seatbelt and manage the ride. And the day the ride is easy, I thank Allah and I build Jannah through shukr and gratitude. And the day the ride is turbulent and difficult, I hold on to my seatbelt and I be patient and I build Jannah through being patient. Getting through it. This is what Yusuf alayhi salam and his life and his story is teaching us. I told you it's a madrasa of life, not a madrasa for your teens, a madrasa for adulthood. It's really for your life. It's the gift that keeps gifting. Surah Yusuf. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the brothers left Egypt, now it's okay, it's all fine, we found Binyamin, we found Yusuf, our father told us, go find Yusuf and his brother. Guess what? We're going back to our father and we're going to surprise him. We found Yusuf and his brother. The impossible just happened, right? Whilst this is happening, Yaqub alayhi salam is saying to, Yaqub alayhi salam is saying to those with him that I sense the scent of Yusuf. He says, I sense the scent of Yusuf. I smell him. Lawla an tufannidun. Fannada yufannidu. Ma'amana fannada yufannidu. Senile, huh? Yani he's saying to those with him. Who's with him? Are the brothers with him? Are his sons with him? No, they're in Egypt. He's saying to those with him, he's saying, you may think I'm crazy, but I sense the smell of Yusuf. I smell him, ya akhi. It takes a lot for a father to say, you may think I'm crazy. Because he thinks, look, every time they keep telling him this, you're going to harm yourself, you're going to... He goes, I'm telling, I smell him. I smell his scent. Now, there's a weak narration. There's a weak narration. Allah knows best. But its meaning doesn't go against this. Subhanallah, this narration states that when Yusuf gave the command to the brothers to go back to Egypt and fetch their father and come back as the whole family back to Egypt, the wind sought permission from Allah. Yani, the wind sought permission of Allah to take this glad tidings to Yaqub. Because the wind was feeling the stress of the turbulence of Yaqub alayhi salam. The other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were feeling the reality of this test that Allah put Yaqub and Yusuf through alayhim salatu wa salam. All the creation of Allah, the armies of Allah are many. وَلَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. Allah's armies are many. The wind sought permission. And thus, even though they were in Egypt, in Palestine, in Canaan, he is, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُسُفْ. طيب. Did they make much of it? Did you think they felt that, okay, yeah, he is losing his mind? What do you guys think? Yes, they did. Allah tells us. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَفِي إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. They said, we swear by, meaning they took an oath by Allah, you are definitely deluded in your old age. That's not nice to say that. And immediately, and he says, you're going to think I'm senile. And yeah, they responded saying, we think you're senile. We think you're deluded. Now the question is, who are these people? Some of the scholars of Tafsir say, you know who these people are? No. The grandchildren. The children of the children. Maybe his wives. But I'm choosing the children citation from the scholars of Tafsir for a reason. And that reason is to extract a lesson. And my dear brother and sister in Islam, when you let your children see how you treat your mother and father, they will grow up assimilating your behavior with your mother and father. And if Allah doesn't protect you, when you grow old, they will use that behavior with you as well. And it'll be worse, because every generation it gets worse. It gets compounded. Bad character gets compounded. The bad character from that generation comes to the next generation, it's mixed with the bad character of that generation, it's compounded. When you let your children see how you treat your parents, you are telling them, when I'm old, treat me like that. Subhanallah, one of the mashayikh, not related to Surah Yusuf, but he was mentioning the story, a true story, of this father, subhanallah, and I can't remember if the father was crying to the sheikh and relating the story out of his sorrow. But he says one day, subhanallah, his son came to him with a plate with a hole in it. A used old plate. And what's the problem here? The problem is he was remembering when his father was old and he was looking after his father, what did he used to do? He placed his father in an outside room. You know, in some lands, they have a room for the sa'iq. For the driver, for the maid. You have the house and then you have a ghurfa, yani lis-sa'iq, right? Yeah? When his father was old, he placed his father in that room. He looked after him in that room, for whatever reason. And he used to send the food to the father in a particular plate. And his son was small, and his son used to carry that plate to that room outside to give the food to the grandfather. And lo and behold, that son kept that plate for all those years. This is the shahid. That he innocently kept that plate. That young boy innocently kept that plate and he grew and grew. We're talking many years later, decades later, the father became old. The son found that plate and delivered the food in the same plate to his father that the father used to give him to give to his grandfather. And this is the shahid. Subhanallah, kama tadinu tudan. As you plant, so shall you reap. Subhanallah. Anyway, some have opined and said that the issue here is that because of how the children would talk to Ya'qub, their children would see how they would talk to Ya'qub. So it was easy for them to just say this, Tallahi innaka lafi dhalalika al-qadim. You are in your the same old eras. You haven't changed. Ever since we know you, ever since we were born, you haven't changed. You are in that era and it's continuing. They heard their father, their own fathers telling their father that you are in error. You're going to carry on like this until you destroy yourself, you harm yourself. It follows on. Children are imitative by design. I'm sure, who has young children here? Young. Okay, you got two. MashaAllah, everyone. MashaAllah. For those who don't have, Allah grant you. And for those who need the means for it, Allah grant you righteous spouses. I mean, you will see when you have your child or those who've had children, when your child is growing, sometimes you look at them and you think, SubhanAllah, that looks like me, a mini me. You might see them eating and you think, hey, SubhanAllah. You might see them sitting. Huh? Have you noticed that? You see them sitting sometimes, but I sit like that. It's like a mini me, exactly how I sit. They're imitative by design. They imitate their environments. You understand? Anyway. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ This is what they say to their father. To their grandfather. But like we said, this was from Allah's ease upon Ya'qub alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا When the Bashir came, the bearer of glad tidings came with the shirt was thrown on his face, his eyes came back. Like we said, we're not going to go into the details of it because we don't know the secret of the shirt in Surah Yusuf and what happened here, but we do know that there was stress. And when that stress was compounded, Ya'qub lost his eyesight. When the shirt came back, obviously he got the news that his son is okay. His son is a believer. His son is a prophet. Binyamin is okay. My elder son is okay. All the stress is gone. فَرْتَدَّ basira. His eyesight came back. It's all the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows best. The Quran doesn't give us details. And everything is Allah's doing. Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah is upon all able. قال ألم أقول لكم إني أعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. This is like يعني شخص يتنفس, huh? The person breathes finally. The first words that comes out of Yaqub's mouth is, "Did I not tell you that indeed I know from Allah that which you do not know?" Meaning, you know, like somebody, you argue with someone, you know, you tell someone, "We're going to eat out to a restaurant." And then we say, what's the cuisine? They say, it's Uyghur. So Uyghur cuisine. Right, Mustafa? Uyghur, huh? Uyghur cuisine. Then the brother says, no, it's not Uyghur. That is Chinese, Korean. I don't know, maybe Chinese is different, Korean, or is it mixed, amalgamated? Mixed, Chinese, Korean. Then the other brother says, I'm telling you, it's Uyghur. And there's a half an hour, 1 hour arguing about this, yeah. It's not Uyghur. I'm telling you, I've seen the restaurant. I checked on Google. Google says it's Chinese Korean. The other brother says, no, it's Uyghur. The brother who works there told me it's Uyghur. Right, then what happens? After all the stress, you finally go to the restaurant and you see it's Chinese Korean. What do you say? I told you so. I told you so. By the way, this is a true story that I'm sharing with you. I'm saying it now, so it's documented in Surah Yusuf. So it can be listened to. Until Allah wills. Whoever listens to Surah Yusuf, they will remember this event. Allah bless our brothers. We love them for the sake of Allah. It's from the beautiful moments of my trip here. But it really happened. When we got there, the one brother said, I told you so. This is what Ya'qub is doing. You people thought I'm going to harm myself. And I'm senile. And I'm deluded. And now he's saying, I told you so. So immediately the sons say to their father, Ya Abana. Look at the adab, subhanAllah. You can see the sincere regret. They have realized, subhanAllah, how badly they've behaved. How wrongly they've behaved with their brothers, with their father. Istaghfir lana dhunubana inna kunna khati'in. Ask Allah to forgive us. Indeed, without doubt, we were wrong. No discussion, no buts, no ifs. My dear father, my dear father, Ya Abana. Beautifully they say this. Oh, my dearest father. Ask Allah to forgive us. Meaning you're a prophet of Allah. Ask Allah to forgive us. Indeed, without doubt, we were wrong. Now Yaqub alayhi salam says something interesting. He says, "Sawfa astaghfiru lakum Rabbi innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim." Sawfa in the Arabic language refers to the present tense, but not the immediate present tense. If you tell me, can you bring me a cup of water? And I say, sa'af'al, sa'af'al. I just use seen. I don't say sawfa. Sa'af'al, it means I will do it immediately. If I say sawfa af'al, it means I will do it, but after some, I'm going to finish one thing and then I'll bring it to you. This is from the precision of the Arabic language. Ya'qub didn't say, sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi. Sa'astaghfiru lakum rabbi. He says, sawfa astaghfiru lakum rabbi. I will ask Allah to forgive you, but he doesn't say, I will do it now. I will get to it. As if he's saying, I will and I will get to it later. Now this is interesting. Is it not interesting? Because if you delay asking Allah to forgive them and one of them returns to Allah after that request, you feel this is an urgent matter. This is a time-bound matter. This request is time-bound, right? But Yaqub says this. Now, I pondered over it. We have what the scholars of Tafsir say. And the scholars of Tafsir say that he said this because he was going to do it, but he wanted to wait till the last third of the night, for example. He wanted to wait till a moment when du'as are accepted because of how wrong they were. That their wrong, meaning their sins towards their father, towards Yusuf, towards Binyamin, it needed a du'a that is done with all the help that the du'a gets when it's made. And one of the ways we aid our du'a being answered is when we ask Allah during the seasons of du'a. A season of du'a like the last third of the night, for example. This is an explanation. This is a personal thought, and Allah knows best, is that we know Ya'qub to be a benevolent man, and that he had already forgiven his children. He already asked Allah to forgive them. Which father ever asked Allah to punish his child? Which parent ever asked Allah to punish their child? I'm just trying to think about this rationally. That no matter how much they've wronged the father, no father would want to see on the day of Qiyamah their child being burnt in the hellfire. So it's only natural that you can deduce that Yaqub alayhi salam, and we've seen how noble he is in terms of his character, and we always say Yusuf is a chip of the old block, right? And Yusuf is so amazing, but he's Yaqub's son. So Yaqub must have already asked Allah to forgive his children. But he didn't want to tell them that, because it's important they feel a little bit, you know, they feel the weight of the gravity of their behavior. He doesn't say, I'll do it, or I've already done it. He goes, I will, inshallah, I'll get to it. Now they say, let them sweat a little bit. Yani. Yani, just let them feel the burden a little bit. It's good for the tarbiyah. As if he was running with his children a tarbiyah move. A tarbiyah move is how you nurture your kids, how you raise your kids. Allah knows best. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ أَهْوَى إِلَيْهِ Allah fast forwards the story. They enter Egypt. They get to Egypt. Allah doesn't tell us how, what, why, when. They get there, right? Some of the scholars of Tafsir say, Yusuf was so respectful to his parents, Yusuf went to the borders of Egypt. Yusuf went to the borders, subhanAllah. That is how respectful he was. Because you get this impression from the verse. You get this impression from the verse, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفْ آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ So some say, دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفْ meaning his borders. The border, the lands that he had control over. As soon as they entered the lands that he had control over, آوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ Subhanallah. How beautiful is the Arabic? Wallahi, the English can't do justice, but I will try my best. Allah says, when the caravan entered Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us when the family reaches Egypt, Yusuf alayhi salam, he meets his family. he meets his parents, he receives his parents. That's the word. He receives his parents. Not just receives them, he receives them graciously. Awa ilayhi abawi. It's difficult, subhanAllah, to capture the emotion of the Arabic when you translate into English. SubhanAllah. Awa ilayhi abawi. He graciously welcomed them. And as part of that gracious welcoming, what's the first thing he says to his parents? Udkhulu Misra insha'Allahu aminin. Enter into Egypt with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in security. SubhanAllah, think about this. He mentions security, but he doesn't mention food. Why? What's in Egypt? Food. And our ulama say, a human being has many needs, right? The greatest needs of a human being are two. Just two. Number one, never to be hungry. And number two, to be secure. Give him food, give him security, everything else he can manage. And where do we get this from? From Surah Yusuf. We'll come to it, but also from لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ. Allah mentions these bounties that Allah gave the Quraysh, these caravans that they had in the winter and the summer. Allah says, look at, you know, recognizing the bounties of these caravans and these trips, trade trips, worship the Lord of this house. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعِ, who kept them fed and safe from hunger. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفِ, and kept in the hearts of all the other Arabs and their tribes this fear for the wealth of the Quraysh. And that's why they left there. No one would touch the wealth of the Quraysh. Remember, they were desert bandits in the desert. The caravans of the Quraysh would just go to Syria, go to Yemen, come back. No one would dare try. They would go with few guards as well. Look at the Battle of Badr. Abu Sufyan had the wealth of the Quraysh. And how many guards with him? Less than 50. We're talking about the entire wealth of Makkah, you could say. The prized wealth of Makkah. Only 50 guards. Because no one dare touch their caravans. You mess with them, birds might start pelting you from the sky. You gotta imagine the fear people had in the hearts for the Quraysh, because when Abraha came with the elephants, the Quraysh were in charge of the Kaaba and Allah sent these birds with pebbles. And we learn about the ila fi Quraysh after Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Allah tells us about Suratul Fil in the tartib of the Quran, and how the surahs are stationed in the Quran, depending on which view you see is stronger, whether the Sahaba set the surahs in order or whether the Sahaba set it in order based on the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a discussion for Ulum al-Quran. Yusuf didn't tell his parents, welcome to Egypt and you won't be hungry. He says, welcome to Egypt and God willing, enter safely. Why? You don't have to worry about hunger anymore. You know this bida'atin muzja, we have wealth which is inferior, fatasaddaq alayna, and be generous to us. Allah loves those who are, khalas, those days are gone. I'll take care of you. The test is over. The test is never over. We always test it. In good times we test it, and in difficult times we test it. But the difficult times are over. Now we will be tested in terms of being grateful to Allah. Because now we will live in times of ease, we need to thank Allah. We were building Jannah being patient, and now we're going to build Jannah being thankful. So he highlights to his parents security because food is not an issue. Does that make sense? Are you with me, brothers and sisters in Islam? Okay, subhanAllah, how many lessons? Right at the end. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِي هَذَا تَأْوِلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ قَدَ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّى. Allahu Akbar. He raises his parents upon the throne. And the parents and the brothers, they fall down into prostration. Now, this prostration was permitted in their Sharia, not permitted in our Sharia. And some have gone to the extent of describing what sujood means here. Is it a bowing as we bow when we make sujood? Or is it a prostration like we know when we prostrate? Or is it a form of bowing? The point is, It was allowed in their Sharia, and it's not allowed in our Sharia. Yusuf sees what's happening before his eyes, and he sees, subhanallah, something that he saw, albeit in a different way, when he was a young boy in the home of his father before he was abducted. It's like you feel the last conversation he had with his father, the interpretation of it is the first event he has with his father decades later. The first moments with his father are a manifestation of the last moments with his father that we know from the story. Who can reveal to you stories like this? So Yusuf explains, Ya Abati, oh my dear father, هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل. And look how beautiful it is, Ya Abati. Remember at the beginning of the story, إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبتي إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. يا أبتي. Young boy going to my father. My dear father. My beautiful way of calling out to your father. Now you say, Baba, 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 huh? You call your father. Dad, as the English do. Huh? Now he is old. Ya Abati, my dear father, Baba. You will always be your father's child. You will always be your mother's child. Even if you're 90 years old and your parents are alive, you're their baby. That's how it is. No matter how old you are, you might have great-grandchildren. As long as your parents are alive, you're their baby. And if they shout at you, be honored. And some people say, Ya Akhi, I'm still getting shouted. Akhi meaning brother. Well, the Arabic words keep coming out because of the Arabs in front of me. I have to translate. Like I said, the people online are, Sheikh, what are these words? Akhi means brother. My brother, Sheikh, my father, he's shouting at me. I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. He's still shouting at me. Yeah, brother, my dear brother, take it on the chin. No matter how old you are, you're still his boy. you're still his boy. Huh? And a time will come, subhanallah, when he won't be there to shout at you and you'll be missing it. So let it happen. It happens. Our parents, as they get older, they become set in their ways. It's natural. This is what happened to all of us. The older you get, the more set you come, and you become in your ways. And then they choose to keep something a certain way. And because you're young and you have more flexibility in your life, you start interpreting what they do as them being stubborn. They're not being stubborn. It's just life. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضُعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. In another qira'ah, ضَعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. Both attributed to Hafs. Hafs and Asim. Allah says, we bring to you after strength, weakness and old age. It's a circle of life. Circle of life. Circle of life. The circle of life. Now, he tells his father that this dream is the manifestation of the dream I told you when I was a young boy. Then Yusuf goes on to say, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدَوِ مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. This is the end of the story. We're right at the end. But subhanAllah, this last verse, there's so many talking points from it. I'll try and be brief and try and share them with you. He says to his father, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. Allah was good to me. Allah was good to me. When was Allah good to me? إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. When Allah took me out of the prison. Now there's two talking points here. Talking point number one is what I mentioned to you early on in Ramadan, when we were discussing the prophetic parenting and how Yusuf at the end of his life remembered the lessons that Yaqub gave him at the beginning of his life. Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't say to his father and his family and his brothers, Allah was good to me when Allah took me out of the well. Which was harder for Yusuf? Being removed from the well or being removed from prison? Meaning, which was harder for Yusuf, being in the well or being in prison? And which was the greater blessing, being taken out of the well or being taken out of the prison? Naturally, you'd say the well, because a small boy in a well, this is the most scary. He was an adult in prison. Take care of himself. I'm a big boy. Right? Big boys take care of themselves. But Yusuf doesn't, subhanAllah, mention the well. Why doesn't he mention the well? He doesn't want to remind his brothers. He doesn't want to make them feel sad. Didn't he say to his brothers, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. And yesterday, our brother, mashallah, he gave us the lesson, mashallah, tabarakallah, that we learned from Yusuf's statement that Yusuf had already forgiven them. Because if Yusuf hadn't forgiven them, he wouldn't have said to his brothers, Allah will forgive you. Because Allah will only forgive you if I have forgiven you. So Yusuf is teaching us, when you forgive someone, make it a perfect forgiveness. Don't forgive them and remind them. Remember we spoke about the story of the ifk and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَحُ يَعْفُ, yani forgive him, pardon him, يَصْفَحُ, as one of brother Sheikh Munir said, like open a new page. It's a new page. Yusuf is saying, my forgiveness for my brothers is so perfect, I don't even remember the well. What well? As if he's saying, what well incident? I don't know about any well. What well are you talking about? He doesn't mention it, subhanAllah. This is a perfect, this is from the character of Yusuf. Meaning, right at the end of the story, the character of Yusuf is hitting us still. Talk about him having half of all beauty. What about the beauty of character? What percentage would you give to that? SubhanAllah. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me. I mean, I don't say it like as if I'm getting ilham or some inspiration, but meaning this is something Allah blessed me to know in these last few days, to come to know in the last few days. When we were discussing Yusuf in the prison, we spent time talking about him always saying, always taking things back to Allah. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. Remember? Huh? When he told the people in the prison about his tawheed and his belief and he's on the straight path and the way of his forefathers and his identity and when he finished all of that, he didn't attribute it to himself. He said, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. This is from Allah's fadl upon me and upon the people. He always, and one of the points we took out, and from other parts of the story as well, this whole idea of always giving all credit back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Al-Alim Al-Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the omniscient, the all-wise. He is saying, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. Why? Because my dear parents, my dear brothers, we are having this moment now because Allah took me out of the prison. Because when Allah took me out of the prison, it was to the king and the king to this spot here, and this spot has been a means of us being reunited. I'm not going to forget the fadl of Allah upon us. I can't forget when Allah took me out of the prison. And this moment of extreme happiness, of extreme excitement, of extreme joy, of extreme relief, this momentous moment, this historical moment, this moment of glory, this celebratory moment, I'm not going to forget Allah. And in detail. And sometimes we say we thank Allah for this moment. Yusuf is going back to the original moment. I thank Allah for this moment and every moment that led me to this moment. He's not forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي. Allah was good to me when He removed me from the prison. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ, and He brought you out of the desert lands. بَعْدَ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانِ بَيْنِي. After Shaytan created enmity between me and my brothers. Who taught him this? Who taught him about Shaytan causing enmity between him and his brothers? His father. When he was a little boy in his father's house, and his father said to him, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. Do not reveal this dream to your brothers, for they will plot against you. إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. Indeed, Shaytan to mankind is a clear enemy. It's not that he's saying you guys were all good for throwing me into the water. No, you are wrong. I forgive you, Allah's forgiven you, but we'd also in this whole process don't forget the enemy that Shaytan is to us. It is Shaytan who sowed, remember Shaytan whispered false whisperings to the heart, right? The father loves Yusuf too much, loves Binyamin too much, he's catering for them too much, he's overprotective over them, he wants to be with them, he's always around them, with us he's not too interested, ever since they came it's been about them. It's like, this is from Shaytan. Shaytan is sowing the hatred in the hearts of the brothers for each, meaning for Yusuf and Binyamin. So Yusuf is doing da'wah here again. Remember we said he's a da'wah machine. Recognizing Shaytan's hand in this and also reminding everyone, including us, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is da'wah from Yusuf in the 21st century. To us. that don't forget about the enmity shaitan sows in our hearts for each other. So if you have a brother or sister who's not forgiving you, who's not trying to, you know, come halfway and meet you halfway and improve the relationship with you, don't allow yourself to start hating them. Don't. Just remember the work of shaitan. And don't be a tool for shaitan. Don't be a, maybe that other person has become a tool for shaitan, but you don't become a tool for shaitan. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَانُ قَوْمٍ. Allah says in the Quran, we should be just. Do not let your enmity and hatred, meaning your enmity towards a person, cause you to swerve off the path of justice. اِعْدِلُوا وَأَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Be just, this is closer to taqwa. Sometimes you have a brother. Remember, we also mentioned that the other day, there's some people who, you know them. People don't know them, but people praise them. But you really know who they are. But that's another lesson, that you keep, you hide their faults. But also sometimes what happens is, there's been, today we live, you know, even especially today, wallahi, you feel, you open your email, you open your direct messenger, you open your website, email, mashakil is everywhere. There are mashakil, problems are everywhere. When I was training to become a judge, the judges that I was training with used to tell me, wallahi, ya Sheikh Sajid, يعني أنت ذو حظ عظيم يعني you are mashallah lucky, Allah has favored you, Allah has honored you. I say, how come? I say, wallahi, akhi, you're studying qadha and judiciary, mashallah, and you're taking this knowledge, but khalas, you will go and you will be a da'i, you will go and you will be propagating Islam, and but we're going to have to be sitting 5-6 hours a day listening to people's problems. It's stressful, it is, yeah. Every day, subhanAllah, except when Allah has mercy on you. That's every person that walks in your courtroom, you know, it's a mushkil, it's a problem. It's heavy. So they were saying this out of, you know, this understanding. And I said to them, I said, Jazakallah khair. I said, I don't doubt that your test is a test. But if I show you my emails, if I show you my, you'll see that the problems of the people are everywhere and they're with me as well. The only difference is you forced to look into their problems, and I have a choice whether to do it or not. And if I don't do it, I fear Allah will hold me accountable on the day of Qiyamah. Because Allah brought this knowledge to me for a reason. And sometimes, subhanAllah, it happens. It happens. The ummah has ajala. You know, they have problems with each other, and your email box is full. And sometimes I'm going through the emails, and sometimes I come to an email that's making dua against me. Why? Because I'm late in getting back to them. So you actually get to the problem email, and then as you go, you, because subhanAllah, sometimes it happens. It happens, right? You know, I mean, this last stint of travel, I was telling the brothers, away from my family, has practically, or will practically last 3 months. You guys have seen more than me in this month than my own family. I can only say you guys, because before that I was in another country, and before that in another country, so you guys weren't there. But you get the point. So sometimes it happens. You delayed. But people's problems are so many, and sometimes they're so intense that people lose themselves, and they see you as a means of their guidance, and they need that help, and you delayed in giving it to them, and it spills over. I don't hold them accountable. And I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. He won't take someone's dua against me and answer just like that when there's no fault from me towards them. But the point is, people's problems are everywhere, because the way we live our lives today, contractually, we're everywhere, our abilities to interact have become so easy, we interact remotely, we interact physically. The life of this world has brought us together and causes us to bump into each other a lot. And as a result of this bumping, what happens? What's wrong? Oh, subhanAllah, I can't even see it. How did you see it? It's so tiny. Oh, mashallah. It came down to listen to Surah Yusuf. It came down from the... It happens. Don't worry. It didn't come to bite you. It just wanted to drain the lesson. Subhanallah. Yani, what was I saying? What was I saying? The spider distracted us a little bit. Huh? Incy wincy spider. Huh? What was I saying, ya jama'ah? I was saying that, subhanAllah, the nature of life today causes us to bump into each other a lot. So the chances of problems between us are high, especially when we have low mental low maturity, low levels of patience with each other. We get offended very quickly. We get offended very quickly, right? And sometimes what happens is, and coming back to the original point, you trying to make up with somebody, they're not playing ball, and things are left half-baked between you both. Okay? And then somebody else comes, and says something about them that isn't true. Do not be a tool for shaitan in that moment. Defend them. You might say, why should I defend that person? Let this person say what they want to say about them. No, defend them. Allah says, i'adilu, be just. Don't let the issues you have with each other serve you off the path of justice. How should you help yourself defend them? By taking a page out of the book of Yusuf alayhi salam. By remembering shaitan's hand in sowing hatred between the believers. So you remember that maybe my brother or my sister isn't coming halfway to meet me here so we can resolve our problem, because shaitan has put in their heart something towards me. I'm not going to hold them accountable. I'm not going to forget shaitan. And I'm going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring our hearts together and save us from the plot of shaitan. Now you make dua substantially. Because Yusuf is saying here, after shaitan caused a hatred and enmity to exist between me and my brothers. Yusuf says, Inna Rabbi latiful lima yasha, innahu huwa al-alimul hakim. Subhanallah. He says, indeed, my Lord is gentle with whom he wills. Yusuf is saying, my Lord is gentle, latif, subtle with whom he wills. Me being in the well, my Lord was gentle with me. Me being in the slave market, my Lord was gentle with me. Me being transported as a slave out of Egypt, he was gentle with me. Me being bought as a slave, he was gentle with me. Me being tested by the minister's wife, he was subtle and gentle with me. Me being then tested with the women of Egypt, he was subtle and gentle with me. Me being left in the prison, he was subtle and gentle with me. Why is he saying this? Because he has the whole picture now. No more pixels. He can see the whole picture. He has the whole picture with him. For 40 to 50 years, he collected the pixels, now the families together. They're no more hungry. They no more have any security issues. Yusuf has managed the storage houses in an amazing way. Millions of people have survived. Egypt is about to come out of the drought, and they're going to come out of it safely because of his leadership after the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's decree. And we can go on and on and on and on counting the blessings. Subhanallah. He's saying at the end, Inna Rabbi latiful lima yasha. But then he says something that goes back to day one. Innahu huwa al-alimul hakim. Indeed, my Lord is al-alim, the omniscient, al-hakim, the all-wise. Who taught Yusuf alayhi salam this? His father, when Yusuf mentioned to him his dream. Remember when his father said, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى آلِ يَعْقُوبَ كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَى أَبَوَيْكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ Alimun Hakim. His father said to him, my dear son, this is how Allah is going to complete his favor onto you. Upon you. He's going to complete his favor upon you. Complete his favor over you. This is how Allah is going to choose you. He's going to put you through the test. He's going to put you through the trial. And through it, he's going to complete his favor over you. And upon the family of Yaqub, like Allah completed it upon the family of your forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq. Obviously Ishaq, because Ishaq is the grandfather. But Ibrahim had another son, Ismail. And Allah's favor encompassed him as well. Ghulamin Halim. Wa Ghulamin Alim. Ghulamin Halim means Ismail. Ghulamin Alim means Ishaq. Then his father said, Inna Rabbaka Alimun Hakim. Indeed, your Lord is the omniscient, the all-knowledgeable one. Hakim, the wise one. And here Yusuf is saying it back to his father. He's saying to his father, Innahu huwa al-alimul hakim. Indeed, you told me my Lord is al-alimul hakim. Indeed, huwa al-alimul hakim. Indeed, he is the omniscient. And the all-wise. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعْلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Again, he teaches us, never forget Allah, never forget Allah, never forget Allah. He says, oh my Lord, قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ, you've brought to me power, sovereignty, you've brought to me the ability to rule. وَعْلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, ah, you taught me the interpretation of events and dreams. In the verse I just recited to you, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, Allah will teach you the interpretation of events. Here, he's mentioning to Allah, he's thanking Allah that you completed your favor upon me and you taught me the interpretation of events. فاطر السماوات والأرض, you are indeed the originator of the heavens and the earth. أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة, you are my guardian in protecting this life and the next. توفني مسلما لا إله إلا الله. سبحان الله. توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. After all of this, he says, Ya Allah, cause me to die as a Muslim. وألحقني بالصالحين and connect me in the hereafter with the righteous. What do you think of this? What do you think of this? O servant of Allah and O child of Adam. What do you think of this? After all of this, he's still making dua to Allah, cause me to die as a believer. That, Ya Allah, don't make me disbelieve after believing. Don't make me ungrateful after being grateful. We're living in ease now. Don't let this ease be a means of taking me further away from you, Ya Allah. Never forget Allah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's no power, no might except from Allah. Allah says, ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه إليك. Allah now reveals to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is from the news of the unseen that we revealed to you, O Muhammad. وما كنت لديهم إذ أجمعوا أمرهم. You are not with them when they gathered. When did they gather? إذ أجمعوا أمرهم وهم يمكرون. When did they gather? At the beginning of the story, when they gathered and said, we need to kill Yusuf, and someone said, don't kill him, throw him into the bottom of a well. Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we revealed to you this, O Muhammad, from the unseen. You were not with the brothers when they gathered, when they were planning to kill Yusuf alayhi salam. What we revealing to you is from the unseen, so that those hearing it know that you are a prophet sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You couldn't have known this unless Allah revealed it to you. And by the way, in the Old Testament, the story of Yusuf has many details. Many details. But subhanAllah, there's details in the Quran that we have that don't exist there. Which means no one can say Muhammad got it from the Old Testament. Through this story, Allah is proving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger of Allah. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, most people will not believe, no matter how keen you are for them to believe. Remember we said, when was the story revealed? This surah was revealed during the most difficult period in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lost his wife, he lost Abu Talib, they came out of being sanctioned. This was the year of sorrow. It's even called the year of sorrow. Again, going back to natural human tendencies, you're allowed to feel sad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt sad. That year was called the year of sorrow. Allah reveals Surah Yusuf. Because the Prophet is trying and he's going through all this difficulty and he knows that I'm trying to take these people to Jannah. Why are they harming me when I only want to do good to them? I only want to save them from the hellfire and they're sanctioning me and beating my Muslims and stopping us from trade and from purchasing food and drink and so on and so forth. They're harming me just because I'm trying to save them from the hellfire. And this used to stress the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. We read this in the Quran. Allah says that perhaps you're going to destroy yourself. Maybe you'll destroy yourself because of this inner desire, this innate will that you have for their guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sincere, wallah. He loved us sincerely. He did this work sincerely. He sincerely wanted to save people from the hellfire. And people were fighting him for it, so he would go back to his quarters and he would complain to Allah about, show Allah his deep desire for the people and ask Allah his help to help him help them. Allah is telling his messenger, most people will not believe, O Muhammad, no matter how much you want them to. No matter how keen you are, most won't, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Huh? This is ease from Allah to his messenger. Allah is revealing Surah Yusuf. Because think about it, look at the parallels. In Surah Yusuf, Yusuf's brothers did this to him. In the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his own tribe is doing this to him. And the tribe was your unit. Your unit was your tribe. Somebody messed with you, they messed with the tribe. And he came from the most powerful tribe. The Quraysh, no joke, huh? Those were his people. There's parallels here. Yusuf's blood did what they did to him. Allah is saying to the messenger, your blood's doing what they're doing to you as well. But take guidance from what happened to Yusuf and how Allah ultimately controls everything. In the end, it's all Allah's plan. Those who are meant for the hellfire will get there, and those who are meant for paradise will get there. And everyone will have their road and have their way and have their journey. Okay, Munir is saying we need to end. Sah? Yeah, we need to end. Khalas, let me end. The rest of the verse is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest of the chapter is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meaning revealing to us rights and the truth. So please do read it. And all of the Quran is the truth. But one thing I want to share with you that we have to share. We can't end Surah Yusuf before sharing this. And I always share it at the end. In the story of Yusuf, it's famous for a dream that happened at the beginning and the manifestation of the dream at the end. In the end, we saw, or in the beginning, we saw there was a sun, there was a moon, and there were 11 stars. At the end, we saw Yaqub, his wife, and his sons. The dream, the sun, the moon, and the stars were bowing down to Yusuf. In the end, Yaqub, his wife, and the brothers were bowing down to Yusuf. Now, according to one tafsir, the moon in the dream represented the mother. The sun in the dream represented the father. And the brothers, meaning the stars in the dream represented the brothers. And if you ponder over this, and may Allah bless our scholars, if you ponder over this, you see lessons. A sociology lesson from Surah Yusuf. When you think of the sun, you think of it being bright, correct? It's bright, mashallah, tabarakallah. When it's out, people feel happy, people feel safe. When it's out, people go to work, not so? When it's out, photosynthesis happens. Convectional rainfall happens. It needs the sun. Convectional rainfall needs the sun. Go back to your secondary school education, right? Photosynthesis needs the sun, right? So a lot of work happens, a lot of progress happens, a lot of productivity happens when the sun is out. Right? When the sun is out, the stars are there, but you can't see them. Because the presence of the sun is strong, is bright. Think of a father in the home. When a father is in the home, there's earning that should happen. There's bills that are paid. People feel safe. The children feel safe when daddy's at home. They feel a bit scared when daddy leaves home. Not so? It happens. It happens. Right? It happens. Sometimes you leave and one of your sons will have trouble sleeping. It can happen because you're not there. When the father's at home, there's the sense of safety, financial safety, right? Security. Things are happening. The home is running. When the father's at home, the children are there, but are they always with him? Or are they mostly with the mother? They're there, but they're not always with him. Right? Because he's out, he's in, he's out, he's in. He's productive. Right? That's the relationship between the son and the father. The moon represents the mother. The moon is beautiful. It's bright, but it's serene. You can look at it. When you look at it, you can stare at it. Can you stare at the sun? Yeah, your eyes get hurt, right? Oh. But the moon, you can stare at it, subhanAllah. It's beautiful, it's radiant. The brighter the sun, the brighter the moon. The brighter the sun, the brighter the moon. When the moon is out, we are the stars. Everywhere. And the brighter the moon, how bright are the stars? They're brighter. They're twinkling more. You see a bright moon light, night, you see the stars are twinkling, subhanAllah. Where does the moon get the light from? The sun. SubhanAllah. The stronger the father, the more effective the husband is, the more stronger and effective the mother is. If the husband treats his wife well, she will shine. And if she shines well, the stars will shine. The children will shine. You see the parallel? Yeah? MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Huh? SubhanAllah. Okay. What happens if the sun wants to be the moon one day and the moon wants to be the sun one day? What do you get? Eclipse. Ahsant. You get an eclipse. You get an eclipse. And when an eclipse happens, the strength of the sun is weakened. And the strength of the moon is weakened. And the stars are nowhere to be seen. You get a solar eclipse or you get a lunar eclipse, depending whether the war is in the day or in the night. Okay. What happens in the home when the mother wants to be the father and the father wants to be the mother? You get an eclipse. You heard my Instagram, huh? Someone cut it from my Surah Yusuf from back then. MashaAllah. You get an eclipse, but a social eclipse. It's called the social eclipse. And when a social eclipse happens, and the mother and father are at war with each other, the role of the father isn't strong or felt, the role of the mother isn't strong or felt, and the children suffer the most. And that's a wrap. Surah Yusuf in the 21st century. SubhanAllah. That even at the end, it's giving us any bomb blasts of lessons. SubhanAllah. My dear brother and sister in Islam, I introduce you to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the book of Allah. This is the Quran. And this was our objective with our series, to connect with the Quran. Yes, my time with you has come to an end, but Ramadan hasn't come to an end. And yes, Ramadan will come to an end. But Allah is al-hayy alladhi la yamut. Allah is the ever-living who never dies. Do not let the connection we've created with the Quran this Ramadan become history after Ramadan. Arjuk, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. And take this from the heart of a brother to my brothers and sisters. Like I said, subhanAllah, and I sit and think about this, it's all life is always this balancing. You have the ummah's needs, you have your family. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless my family, bless my parents. They always push me to go into the path. But you sit and say, subhanAllah, how many events have I missed in my children's lives? In the life of my wife, the life of my parents, to be with my brothers and sisters who I love for the sake of Allah, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then you think to yourself, subhanAllah, it's a cost. It's a price that you pay. I can tell you now this Ramadan, I had to share with the brothers some event that happened with my family and I'm not there. But I sent her a cake. I sent her a cake. Allah bless her. She passed an exam. But I would have loved to be there. Because it's one of those difficult things to pass. Right? My son also went through a milestone. I would have loved to be there. But I wasn't. And you sit back and you say to yourself, what will make it worthwhile? You know what will make it worthwhile, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam? You all becoming a sadaqatul jariyah for me, for my parents, for my family, for my teachers. Definitely my teachers. Because they also had to invest with Allah, be away from their family so that they could teach me. That is the best thanks you can give. Wallahi, I appreciate your love, I appreciate your care, and I appreciate your smiles. And mashallah, our brother was saying, subhanAllah, today is a very difficult day. Your departure is hard. Jazakallah khair, wallahi. And wallahi, it's hard for me as well. And Allah knows the gulp that I'm keeping down. But wallahi wa billahi wa tallahi, you can honor me by putting Allah's book in front of everything. Kitabullah qabla kulli shay. وَأَثْنَاءَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَبَعْدَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be before everything and during everything and after everything. Please, أرجوكم, do not put the book of Allah on a shelf after Ramadan. Read it. Memorize what you can from it. Listen to it. Ponder over it. I shared with our sisters a 3-point plan to connect with the Quran. The video is on my YouTube channel. How to connect with the Quran. Watch that video. The basic level. A level that every Muslim can, even a 7 or 8 year old can. Anyone who can discern between right and wrong can connect with the Quran like this. Maybe watch it with your kids and come up with an action plan with them so you can nurture them to have this relationship with the Quran. But please, this is the best gift you can give me this Ramadan in my life. Every book, my dear brother and sister in Islam, you and I know, comes in our lives and leaves. When we were in school, we gathered books. History, math, science, geography, French, Latin. Yeah, I had to learn Latin as well. Allahu musta'an. Books and books and books. And then when we finished that year, we either gave those books away, or we packed them in a box, or we recycled them. Every book comes into your life and leaves your life, except one book. Except one book. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kitabullah. It is the book that is on top of all the books. And it's the book that will always be with us. And if you're good with it, it will be with you in your grave. It will be a light in your grave, and it will defend you on the day of Qiyamah. It will drive you to Allah, aiding you to go to Jannah. I leave you with these words, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam. Everything correct said in our series is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and He's perfect. Any mistakes are from myself and shaitan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. May Allah cause us to live by the injunctions of the Quran and die upon the injunctions of the Quran. May Allah make us from the family of Al-Quran. May Allah raise us with the family of Al-Quran. May Allah accept our Ramadan, accept our standing, accept our fasting, accept our charity, accept our recitation of His book. May Allah forgive all our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to have witnessed the night of power and decree and virtue, if it indeed has passed. And if it is to come, may Allah inspire us to keep at it, keep searching for it, and grant us that night, and honor us with the rewards of that night. May Allah write us from amongst those freed from the hellfire. And may Allah make us enter the day of Eid as people of taqwa, from the family of at-taqwa, from the successful ones. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us in His obedience and bring to us many, 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 many Ramadans whilst we are upon good health and upon good faith. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Hadha wallahu a'lam. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.